Hello, and welcome to Speak On It, History and Genealogy Conversations with Janice and Sharicana. We invite you to join us on Thursdays at 8 p.m. for an engaging exchange with us and our special guest as we cover various topics regarding history, genealogy, and your personal family history stories. Hello, I'm Janice Gilliard.
And I'm Sharicana Feliciano. Welcome to Speak On It, History and Genealogy Conversations with Janice and Sharicana. Thank you for joining us. And don't forget, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Today, we're joined by our guest, Brian Sheffy.
Brian Sheffy is the director of the Center for Family History at the International African American History Museum in Charleston, South Carolina. He is also the founder of the popular African-American genealogy website, Genealogy Adventures. He is the host of the popular African-American genealogy, culture, and history television series, Genealogy Adventures, which he presents with Donya Williams on E360 TV. His research areas have focused on the U.S. regions to the east of the Mississippi River, including the northern British American colonies. He has a particular expertise in researching enslaved people and enslaved communities in the early British American colonial era.
In 2023, he was hired by the University of Virginia Foundation to research and find the descendants of the enslaved community held at William Garth's Birdwood Plantation in Charlottesville, Virginia. He has also spent the past few years researching the ancestry of communities of enslaved people held by the Bull, Butler, Middleton, Ruralton, and Guerard families in South Carolina. Brian is the author of two award-winning Amazon top 10 selling genealogy books, Practical Genealogy, 50 Simple Steps to Research Your Diverse Family History. I can attest it's a great book. And Family Tree Workbook, 30 plus step-by-step worksheets to build your family history. Welcome to Speak On It, Brian Sheffy.
Well, thank you for that awesome introduction, and hello to everyone who's tuning in.
Yes, all right. Thank you for joining us. Brian, you're a dear friend of ours, and many of our listeners are familiar with your show, Genealogy Adventures. So before we delve into your position at the museum, can you share how you began your history and genealogy journey?
Certainly. And as always, it's a pleasure spending time with you guys. So I'm really looking forward to it. I'm going to cut a very long story short. My dad was my dad was in his years, and I phoned up my mom and I asked her, what do I get dad for his birthday? And she's like, don't buy that man a single thing, because they were trying to downsize our house. And she's like, he has everything that a human being could possibly need and then some. And because he didn't really know that much about his dad's side of the family, because his parents got divorced when he was really little, I said, do you think he'd be interested in finding out about his people and where he comes from? And she thought that that was an amazing idea. And I did it and found out that I actually had a knack for it. And I loved puzzles and sleuthing and all that good stuff. And that was it. I was hooked. I was off.
Well, how long ago would you say that was? Like, as far as...
Ooh, that was about 35 years ago.
Wow.
Goodness. Okay.
So I've been doing it for a minute.
35?
Yeah.
I didn't think it was that long.
Levels right now. I know.
So Brian, of Trauma, Truth, and Triumph, the International African American Museum tells the unvarnished stories of the African American experience across generations, the trauma and triumph that gave rise to a resilient people. We absolutely love this. And by the way, you have my dream job.
Right?
Let me just be clear. Actually, I could work anywhere. If it was anything dealing with genealogy and history, I would love it. So congratulations to you on that. But
yes,
we love this. Please share with our listeners what your role is at the museum.
Well, thank you for the congratulations. My official title is Director of the Center for Family History, and I'm blessed to be building on a wonderful foundation laid by Tony Carrier, who anyone in genealogy for more than a minute probably recognizes that name.
Yes.
So she was the first director. I couldn't have asked for a better lead foundation if I tried. And Miss Shelley Murphy, Miss Dr. Murphy, she was kind of like the caretaker deputy kind of director, but kind of caretaking the department. And I was very blessed to have the museum reach out to me to ask me to apply, kind of headhunting. And the rest of the is history. So just really
Yes, you
kind
were
of
very
building.
blessed. You were very blessed.
Yes, indeed. So building, really building up the center and getting all the bits and pieces and parts of it working. I'm sure you'll be asking questions about what's there and what isn't. And it's just been an amazing journey. I've been on the ground here for about 6 weeks, I think. And I mean, Charleston's beautiful. The museum is amazing. My team and I've been blessed with just an awesome bunch of genealogists to work with.
Oh, that is so great. I've never been to Charleston, but I can imagine, from the photos, it's such a charming looking city. So really cool to be able to work there, I'm sure. So for listeners who plan to visit the museum, what can they expect regarding the museum overall?
I have to say the museum overall is very emotional. It's emotional for the moment that it's built in a very unique way. It's built on pillars, because they know that there's bodies buried underneath, and they want it. And plus the history that's represented in that place, they really didn't want to disrupt or disrespect the remains and the history. So they actually lifted the museum up off the ground and put it on columns. So the
Wow.
journey actually starts from outside. There's a memorial area for where the ships came into Gadsden's Wharf and people's ancestors were unloaded. There's an outline of the warehouse that they could have been kept in for months at a time. There's memorial garden, other parts of the memorial garden that all have significance, and then you go into the museum. And what I love about it is there's no official beginning part. You can start in the middle, you can start at the west wing, you can start at the east wing. And it literally covers everything from transatlantic worlds and the origins of slavery all the way up to the present day. And then it leads into the Center for Family History, where people can learn how to find their family stories.
That is so thoughtful that it's on columns like that. That's really powerful.
Ryan, as director of Center for Family History, what resources are available for those interested in utilizing what's there?
Okay, great question. Thank you. Every Tuesday to Friday at 11 o'clock and 2 o'clock, there are free genealogy 101 sessions. And that's included with the price of your admissions ticket. And basically, a member of the team has a very short PowerPoint presentation that lasts for about a half an hour. And they really talk, they really explain to people how you start, your family history journey, your family research journey, the different services that you can use to build a family tree. And then we always stress, do not copy off of other people's trees. Don't do that. We teach about the myriad of resources and archives and places that hold records where they can do their family research. We get people literally coming from all over the country. I mean, today we had someone from Alaska, we had
Wow.
people from California. So the reach is really great. And then usually there's about a 15 to 20 minute question and answer period after that. We also offer online or virtual paid research sessions. So again, that can be getting more into depth about teaching people how to build their tree or getting them started on that journey. Or if people are really stuck on an ancestor, if they have a really just tough nut to crack, that brick wall ancestor, they can pay us to actually research that specific ancestor. So unfortunately, we don't build trees because we just don't have the staff numbers or the capacity to do that. But if, like I said, if someone's struggling with one specific ancestor, we will do a deep dive on that particular ancestor. Coming in January, we will be launching our reference library. We have a wonderful series of reference books, and people will actually be able to research their ancestry using iPads. that we have in the space, so people can do full three ancestry. We've got the library version of those. They can use Family Search. We have reclaimed links to the Reclaim the Record site, and we have a host of wonderful volunteers that are very knowledgeable about genealogy and can answer those kind of questions. Plus the rest of the team, and in the space, we have just an amazing number of actual stories that people have found, and that we've sharing in our space about African American history, things they found in their genealogy, family history stories. So there's a lot going on. So that, I mean, that's just the space. We haven't even gotten into all the goodies that are on the website.
Wow. Well, it sounds like a really robust experience for sure.
Are you getting an influx, like a large number of folks coming into the Family History Center, or is it like sporadic?
No, we get a steady stream of people coming in. I would say out of the daily visitors to the museum, 60% of them come through our space, always asking questions and really interested in what we're doing.
I like that there's that focus on that one kind of brick wall ancestor, because, you know, sometimes people approach looking for assistance and it's just like so all over the place, you know, like we can't solve, you know, we can't build a tree today and find everybody today. But if you could come with, you know, that one ancestor that's really bugging you, then that's really helpful. And that helps with the research and tailor it so that it's actually successful. So that is so cool.
And it kind of fits with our overall focus. We are more about education and inspiration, and actually inspiring people. Again, it's really sad, the number of people who come into our space, and these are African American people, who say, "Can I really research my ancestry past 1870?" And we're like, "Listen, sit down and let us tell you all the ways." Right. And the great thing is we can draw from our own experience, saying just how far we've gotten in our own journey.
Yes, yes. So you touched on this a little bit. Are there upcoming events that visitors to the Family History Center can participate in?
Most of them are actually virtual, which kind of works for us because we can reach a much wider audience. Nice. They are all organized by Shelley Murphy, who's the head, kind of the head genealogist in the department. So there are things like Freedmen Fridays, which is a taped webinar series. Can catch that on Facebook, and we're getting all of the archived ones. We're working on getting those onto YouTube. And once a month, every month is themed, and we have special guest speakers come in. I mean, there are names that names that hopefully people recognize who've done it in the past, like Angela Walton Raji, Bernice Bennett. I mean, just the top people from African-American genealogy. Then I have to give them kudos and things because they really have shared their time and their expertise. Because I think they see the larger mission that, you know, we just want to inspire people to start researching their family history and realizing the Americanness of who we are as a people. Because I think that's been denied to us for far too long.
So before we move on, I have a quick question. So if I'm coming for the day, I know me, I probably end up, going all the way through and then spending some time in the research center or family history center. How long does it take pretty much to go through, like a thorough walkthrough of the museum? Like, can
I
it
would
take a
say
day, a full day, or?
That's a great question.
It can take up to a good 4 hours to really, because there's so much text and there's so much video. And I mean, it's really clever the way that they've done it. There's a lot of interactive things. So just to walk through what I would call the museum space, the exhibits and what, you know, admiring the beautiful art and objects and historical objects that are on display can take a good 3 to 3.5 hours. And then people tend to spend anywhere from a half an hour to 45 minutes to an hour in the Center for Family History. So it can take a goodly part of the day. There's a lot to take in. We even have quiet rooms where people can go in and contemplate or cry, and they're used. There's a lot to take in. If you've never taken in that kind of information before, while there's things that will uplift and inspire, you know, there are painful, you know, there are traumatic parts of our history in this country, and people kind of need that space to decompress.
Okay.
One more thing with this, are you getting a lot of schools? Like, are they taking field trips and coming, or are you finding, based on your observation, mostly adults? Or I'm just curious about the age range.
We're very interesting as a museum in that we have departments that people wouldn't traditionally think of. I'm leading up to answering your question. So we have a wonderful head of education department. Her name is Dr. Felice Knight, and she does a lot of outreach with schools. So there are a lot of school tours. I'm really embarrassed because there is an agreement with South Carolina that specific years. I know that fourth grade is one of them, 11th grade is another one, and I think it's seventh grade that every single student had will have, at least in Charleston, will have access to the museum
Wow.
with curated tours. She's amazing the way that she gives these tours, and the kids are like really, they're really engaged. With the reference library, we're reaching out to older students, and we're also reaching out to university students because our reference library isn't just for genealogists or family historians. It's there for historians, academics, educators, and students as well. Another department that you wouldn't think of, we have a faith-based department.
Oh,
So they do
wow.
a lot of outreach into the community, and then someone that you would probably expect. We have a lot of public programming. So we had an African dance troupe last week, actually. So
All right.
there's always stuff going on, and it's always on the website.
So I can't wait to hear your response to this. So, Brian, what impact do you personally hope to have in your new position at the museum? Specifically in relationship to visitors who are researching their family history, and what do you want the main takeaway to be?
That's actually an unfairly easy one to answer. I see the impact immediately when people go into those genealogy kind of 101 sessions. They're kind of quiet and kind of contemplative, and you can see that they're not really sure what the experience is going to be. When they come out of there, they are fired up. They're like, I'm going home and I'm getting started. I'm gonna start on it. Other people who may not go to those particular sessions, it's just, when I'm engaging with them and I'm talking to them, specifically people who are like, well, I don't think I can ever get past 1870, or I'm kind of frightened to know what I'm going to find. And I'm like, look, we already know the worst things that could have possibly happened to our ancestors. It's like, I don't mean to belittle or diminish how you're feeling, because you're right to feel that way. It's like, but you will never know who you come from, no matter how painful some of the stories you find may be, until you actually start doing the research.
That's amazing to think about, holding that space too, about what the impact of personal family research can have on folks. That's interesting. I didn't think about the fear. And, it's good that you have that quiet room. I see why to reflect, because
Yes.
people are coming in with all kinds of like emotions and, perhaps preconceived notions and misconceptions and, where that can take them on their journey. I was
And I have
curious.
to say, for me, it's just really motivational at the end of the day, even if I'm really tired and I've had a long day. I can think of interactions that I've had where you could see that flip, you can see that switch, and that you've really have sparked something in someone to start.
Have you
That's
seen
rewarding.
I'm sorry. Have you seen anybody get emotional? Like it have an act. I know you haven't been there that long, but I'm just curious as to whether or not people cry or they, it's visible that they're being impacted by their experience.
I've seen people after they've cried, I believe. I haven't seen anyone cry in the Center for Family History. I know I've seen people get angry.
Range of
There's some
emotion.
stories in that. Yes, there's some stories in there that have made people angry. There's stories in there that have made people laugh out loud. I'm really embarrassed because, again, this is a name that I should remember because it's one of my favorite stories. The one that's one of my favorites, and I always take people to read it, about the woman who's living in South Carolina who is very fair complected, dressed as a white man, and pretended that her husband was her slave, and that's how they left slavery for
Kraft. William
freedom.
and Ellen Kraft, I
Yes,
believe.
Kraft.
I love
That's it,
that
Ellen
story.
Kraft.
Yes,
Yes.
I love that story.
People read that one and they laugh out loud. And some of the women are like, "You go, girl."
Well, it's a cool story if you read it, because Ellen is acting as a, like you said, she's acting as a man, and there were some young girls, well, teenagers that were attracted and were trying to come, if you read the full story, and it was like, okay, this is not going, as anticipated. So Brian, real quick before we move on, the takeaway. So if I'm coming and you don't know me, what would you, what's the most important thing in your mind that's like, this is what I want people to walk away with? I'm sure there are a number of things, but what's something that would stick out to you that you would want for them or want the experience to be overall?
Empowerment and knowledge.
I like that.
And I was curious to your thoughts on the location, it being in South Carolina, right? And in Charleston specifically. What do you feel like, why do you feel like that might be important that it's in Charleston, South Carolina?
I think it's the history of Charleston as a port. I know the initial focus for the museum was Gadsden's Wharf, which happened kind of later, well, right before slavery was outlawed. And it's certainly a huge number of enslaved Africans were brought into that port. But as you were mentioning, I've been doing a long research project with huge enslaving families that were in Charleston in a much earlier colonial period. And just the sheer volume of human beings that came through Charleston, from its inception right up to when slavery was out, the importation of Africans was outlawed. We're talking hundreds upon hundreds of thousands of human beings. So in that context, from Charleston, enslaved people and their descendants populated the Deep South. So, there's just that those historic links.
It sounds
And
like
sorry, the links to Barbados and Bermuda, the British
right.
colonies in the Caribbean. Because again, that's a part of the story that rarely gets told, or I think it's also not particularly well understood.
One of the things that the museum did early on when they were building, and I would have given anything to be there, and I had a friend that was working, and I tried to reach out to him to have him do it, but when they were putting the beams up for the museum, they allowed the community to actually come in and they could write their names on it. And when I found out about it, it was like too late for me to be there, but I wanted to go and put my ancestor's name on there, Willoughby McWhite, because she was sold out of Charleston. And I wanted her name to be there. But that's okay. I'm going to find some other way to get her in there. But I thought it was really cool that they allowed the community to come in and do that, So,
No,
yeah, there's
indeed. And again, it's oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No,
Sorry, comment.
go ahead, Brian. No, go ahead.
I was going to say it's I think it was just a really ingenious way of really involving the community. Because again, I have a feeling that, any museum, not just an African American history museum, sometimes sits apart from the community that it's centered in. And even though we're about, outreach to the local community and getting their stories and all those good things, while we have a much wider story and bigger story to tell, it's just a really kind of simple way to, again, make the community feel as though they have a stake in the museum.
Is there a wait list to get in? Because remember the African American Museum that opened in DC, there was always this long, wait list and all that. Is that the case for the museum there?
It was in June, because remember the museum only opened in June. I believe June and July, there was a huge wait list. So you still have to pre-book your tickets, but the wait list is much longer. I believe you can actually book your tickets, say, on the Monday and then go on the Tuesday.
Okay, so shorter. Okay, great.
So it's
Okay.
much shorter.
It definitely sounds like Charleston, South, I mean South Carolina in general, but Charleston specifically, I think is definitely an important city for the descendants of the enslaved United States to visit. It's just something about it feels like, I don't want to say ground zero, but almost ground zero-ish. And it's As much as it's, I see the photos, it's very charming, it has its just like, feel to it. I've definitely heard from those, who descended from the enslaved that they visit Charleston and like, yeah, while it's so beautiful, there's just this energy there that
The
they,
slave mart. When you walk
yes,
past that
they
slave
pick
mart.
up on it. You can pick up on it. And I feel like it's whatever it's spiritual, whatever the case may be, I do think it's almost like just a necessary a place to go, a place to visit and research. Almost like what is the word? Kind of like a not a homecoming, but something similar to that. So I think it's really awesome that they have this robust museum there, and then are driving home the and have that supportive family history center there too. I just feel like that has like a I don't know, a full circle kind of moment to it. That's really awesome.
Absolutely. And you would be amazed at how multicultural the mix of museum visitors are.
That's good.
I'm still amazed.
That's excellent. Wow. So, Brian, what are your parting words of inspiration for our listeners?
My parting words would be never be fearful of the journey. We come from strong people, no matter how long or short their lives may have been. And if any one of those people in our direct line had been weak, we wouldn't be here. So if they can endure what they endured, we can endure, the periodic moments of trauma, sadness, anger that we feel. While we can find out, find snippets that make us smile or laugh out loud or give us joy.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Brian, thank you so much for sharing with us and our listeners. Let our listeners know where they can find out more about you and the museum.
They can find out more about me in the museum by visiting it's IAAMuseum.org. That's the museum's website. There's a link right on the main navigation for Center of Family History. They can find all of the things that we're doing. We have wonderful research articles, tips, tricks, stories, archives. People have donated funeral programs, obituaries. We're in the process of uploading 750 United States Colored Troop pension applications. That's going to probably be taking us well into like spring, late spring of next year to get all of those up. So there's just so much information there, and not only information, kind of support. Again, teaching people and from some of the best genealogical minds out there that there are to teach you how to do it.
Yes, excellent. Yours included, I have to say, to our listeners, Brian Sheffy's book on doing genealogy research is really amazing, an awesome tool to have. So skedaddle on
Thank
over
you.
to Amazon and put it in your any Amazon cart. It's a great book. Very good
Thank you
book.
for that.
Yes. So to our listeners, we thank you for joining us and we look forward to sharing with you during our next segment of Speak On It.
Speak On It is a podcast and is immediately available to listen to at your leisure. Thank you.